All right. Well, grace and peace. I'm glad you are here on this day. We are going to look into the Gospel of John. The text for this weekend is John 18, verses 33 through 37. We also call this Christ the King weekend in the church. So I'm going to read a few more verses past that because you know the end of the story, but it's not part of the lectionary, but I'm going to read those words anyway, so you kind of get the full story. And so here we are. This is Jesus now before Pilate. And we're on this text. You might be asking, why are we looking at this in November, right here before Thanksgiving? Well, Advent starts. And so we go up to this point. Then we go into Advent. We hear the birth of Jesus, the birth story through Christmas. And then we go into Epiphany. Jesus is a young boy, the light of the world coming to dwell with us. And then we go back into the story of Lent. And we'll get to this place again during Holy Week. But so here we are at the end of a church year, and these are the verses. Again, John chapter 18, verse 33 and on. Then Pilate entered the headquarters. Again, he summoned Jesus and he asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" And they shouted in unanimous reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then they took Jesus and they had him flogged. A heavy text here as we live in the midst of the betrayal of Jesus, the kangaroo kind of court, the injustice of humanity, and again, how Jesus is being stamped down and out. And so I want to dive into that a little bit more and how that applies to this particular point in life and the journey that you may be on. Again, we talk about Christ the King in the church. And the ancient people had something on us, I think, in their understanding of kings and queens and kingdoms. For us in the United States and those of us here in South Seattle, that's not typically where our mind is drawn to. But go to Great Britain and you'll have a whole different experience. So sure, we've all heard of that Queen of England, but she lives in the midst of a complex system. Whereas royalty in ancient times would have had much more power and authority, which also would have come with an extensive family history of royalty and the passing of a crown from one to the next. So when Jesus appears before Pilate and he questions Jesus about him being a king, it's as almost if Pilate is mocking Jesus. He's not talking to him in honor. Again, it's as if a comedian is standing in front of him laughing, mocking, chiding in the midst of that. So when Jesus appears there before Pilate and he questions Jesus about him being a king, Jesus is trying to articulate the vision to a man who doesn't want to hear the vision. He's already made up his mind. Jesus, in the eyes of the world, would not have had the appropriate family heritage to bear the title of a king. And he only had a handful of followers, nowhere near enough to take over the crown from another king. Pilate would have preferred not to have had this case on his hands, to just wash his hands of it, to say, "Get him out of here. I don't want to deal with this." But he did not want to get in trouble with the people, so he did what he had to do. And so Pilate asked him in this exchange, as you heard me read, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus responded in that very typical response for him with another question posed at Pilate. Jesus was a master at asking a question to a question, almost as if to say, "Say more. Tell me what you're really thinking. Let somebody figure out the answer." Well, upon further discussion, Jesus declared that his kingdom was not of this world. He makes the point that if it were his followers, they would be fighting for his release. Jesus then declares that he was born to testify to what? The truth. Of course, Pilate does not understand this response and ask, "What is truth?" One of those famous lines that we all know well. What is truth? And here, Jesus does not answer. So Pilate offers that release, and the Jewish leaders ask for the release of another criminal, and they ask for the crucifixion of Jesus. It leaves us suspended in space, just wishing that Jesus could have said more, done something else, so the outcome could have been different. Well, at any given moment, there are two stories at work in our world. God's story of perpetual life and hope, and the world's story of division, death, and destruction. They both can't be true. The story that lays claim to us is the lens by which we see every other aspect of life. That's what it means for Christ to be king. He absolutely changes how we see, taste, experience, and live in this world. You see, if God's story holds us, then we see life through the lens of the empty tomb. We live in perpetual hope of new life. Every death is but an opportunity for rebirth because God promises rebirth. Loss of a relationship, loss of a job, financial struggles, death of an ego, even a physical death. We hold on to the hope that there will be rebirth. We cry out for it in anguish. We count on God doing that. Show me, God. Lead me. Bring about new life. Well, Jesus told Pilate that if his kingdom were here, then his followers would fight for him. So through the death and resurrection of Jesus, his kingdom is here. And we are citizens of that kingdom. While the weapons of the world are money and power and might, Jesus' weapons are love, peace, hope, and joy. We are called to use love, peace, hope, and joy to battle against the divisions in our families, in our workplaces, in our community, and even the greater world. We're called to give our lives to that, to trust it, that God will do a new thing. Do you see that? How do you experience it? Well, a few questions for you. Do others see, by the way, you live and make choices that Jesus' kingdom, or do they see the world story? And how you live, do people see Jesus' kingdom or the world story? But it's not just for how others see it. How do you see it? How do you experience it? How do you hold to an empty tomb attitude as you go through the struggles of life? How do you do that? Because we know you do. And those stories need to be told. That provides encouragement to others. And how are you being called to live for Jesus in your family, workplace, school, community, or the greater world? What is God doing today? How is God speaking and bringing that life to you? You know, that question, what is truth? Talk about a statement of epic proportions today. Isn't everybody asking that? In the media, in terms of the world, we get more and more confused, it seems. But God's not done. God is not done speaking. God is not done leading. With Jesus, that new life is there. And so as you live into this story, what is truth? Who is Jesus? What kingdom do you see emerging? Well, sit in that this week a little bit. Talk with some others. Really wrestle. And remember, both stories can't be true. So we bet on God's story, that true life and true love in Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God's blessings to you as you enter Thanksgiving week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and remember to stay thirsty for more of God. See you next week. Take good care.